Let me start by praying, and let's pray to our Lord Jesus. Let's invite the Holy Spirit to come and to renew us, all right, with his word. So let's pray. Let's close our eyes. Father, we thank you, God. We're so thankful and honored, God, to be here in your presence, in the midst of your people, under your grace and your love for us and your care for your people and your creation. Thank you for your love, God, that overwhelms us, overwhelms our sin. And God, I just pray for today. I pray that you would give me a word for your people from your words. I pray for your spirit. I pray, God, that that this word would be specific to specific people in certain seasons of life that need to hear this word. God, that it would transform and give life to your people, God. We also pray for our fellowship, God. I pray, thank you for the men that are working hard, that are men and women that prepared yesterday and last night so that we can eat well today. And would you bless them and that they would serve in the strength that you supply, all for your glory, God. We love you, Lord. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay. If you have a Bible, can you please turn to Matthew chapter 5? Matthew chapter 5. We've been going through the book of Matthew. And if you could turn to Matthew 5, 13 to 16. And if you have a Bible that has red letters, you'll notice that the red letters are for when Jesus is talking, okay? So all of the Bible is important, but the red parts are very important too. It's when our Lord is speaking. So let me read for us chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5, 13 to 16, okay? And if you need a sermon title, it is Reflecting the Great Light. Reflecting the Great Light. And we're going to continue in our sermon series on Matthew, okay? Let me read for us. This is our Lord, okay? This is our Lord talking. You are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You children of God, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Amen. All right. Well, it's really nice to see some new faces and people I would love to get to know. But let me start with some bad news. And if you'd like to walk out after, that's okay. All right. Let me start with some bad news, all right? You're not that important, okay? Children, I know what your parents tell you, but they're wrong, okay? You're not that important, all right? In the grand scheme of humanity, in the grand scheme of history, in the grand scheme of eternity, we are but a dot on the map, a speck in time. We are very small. We're very insignificant. Okay? We're a rounding error. And so there's a temptation to read this verse for some people and to feel very great self-importance. Oh my gosh, I'm the salt of the world. Oh my gosh, I'm the light of the world. And that's wrong. That's not how we're supposed to read this. That's not how Jesus is intending us to read this verse. Okay? So I'm sorry for the bad news, all right? All right? It's like American Idol. Sorry, you're just not that good, all right? You're just not that important in the grand scheme of eternity. But here's some good news, okay? Christians in the room, non-Christians in the room, believers, unbelievers, okay? You are not that important in the grand scheme of history, but even still, you are greatly loved by our Father in heaven. Amen? Right? You're not that important in the grand scheme of eternity. But God has his eye on you. You're very important to him. All right? You're very loved by our Father in heaven. So Nate read a verse for us, okay? And we don't have to pull it up, but I just want to paraphrase it a little bit. He read from Psalm 139, and it's we didn't plan this, by the way, but it says, this is God speaking to us, and he says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. God knit you, the living God of heaven and earth, knit you in your mother's womb. He knows every single detail about how he created you with intention and purpose. Okay? God is a creator. So when he creates things, he gives purpose and function. All right? He makes them useful. Let me read again from Matthew. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. God is saying, you're salt. All right? You have purpose. You have function. He created you to be useful. All right? So what does salt do? What does salt do? Let me tell you. If you know me, I think you'll think this is a funny story, okay? So I don't cook at home, okay? I'm probably, kids included, probably the worst cook in this room, okay? By far. I'm a terrible cook. I don't know how to cook. I don't like to cook, all right? But now that I'm home more, you know, and I have a little more time, I was trying to make kimchi fried rice. You guys know what kimchi is, right? You guys like kimchi? It's a Korean food. Okay, so you take kimchi, you take rice, and then you fry it, and it becomes kimchi fried rice. So you put, like, you know, kimchi, you put rice, you put Spam or something, and then you put, you know, maybe some onions, you put, you know, some oil. And so I'm cooking this, and my wife, Tammy, is next to me, and she's basically, like, coaching me as I'm doing it, right? So I'm cooking, because I've never done this before, right? So I'm cooking, and then I'm tasting it, and I'm like, man, this is not good, right? This is terrible, right? And I'm like, this, I don't know, it just tastes flat. There's nothing. It's nothing. Even though kimchi has a lot of flavor, right? It doesn't taste good. So Tammy tastes it, and she says, you need more salt. And I said, what? She's like, that's the only thing you need. You just need more salt. I'm like, what? I mean, this has like 6 ingredients already. Like, what is salt going to do to this? Okay? But, you know, she's a good cook, so I add salt. And it's okay. And then she's like, no, you got to add more salt. I'm like, all right, okay. All right. So I add a lot more salt. And then, oh my gosh, it got really good all of a sudden. And I'm like, oh my gosh, am I a chef now? Right? Like, is this all the chefs do? They just add salt? It's like magic, right? Salt is like magic, but it's not magic. It's chemistry, okay? Salt bonds with water molecules, and it does something, and it does something to the flavor where it brings the flavor out onto your palate. Okay? That's amazing. Salt has this amazing function. It's useful. It does something. It has a purpose. All right? And then Jesus says, you're the salt of the earth. He created you, and you have a function, and you have a purpose. He created you to be useful. So if you walked in today feeling very useless, feeling very meaningless, feeling very purposeless, the good news is that your Father in heaven made you so that you have a purpose. You matter, okay? You matter. In 1859, that was a long time ago. Almost, oh wow, that's almost 200 years ago. 1859, there was a guy named Charles Darwin. Anyone heard of Charles Darwin? Does anyone know Charles Darwin? Anyone heard of him? Okay. He grew up actually in a Christian community, but he rejected the faith. And then he went and studied some stuff. And he wrote a book that became very popular called The Origin of Species in 1859. If you've ever heard of Survival of the Fittest or Macroevolution, it comes from this book, okay? It's a travesty, okay? It had a terrible effect upon humanity and culture even today. But more importantly, from a Christian perspective, it introduced to the world the idea that the world is absent of a creator. Okay? We're here by accident. That's what The Origin of Species says. It's all random. It's all random. It's all by accident. In space, something happened, right, at the beginning of time, and an accident occurred that created all this stuff. Okay? That's terrible news. If that's true, then we have no meaning. We have no purpose. You live and you die, and that's it. You're a random collision of stuff that's happened. But fortunate for you, it's not true. And God, our Father in heaven, is a wonderful creator. Everything around us, everything, every single person that has been created in humanity has been created by God. And it says that we're created in his image. When you create things, you give them meaning and purpose. God is not random. Okay? God doesn't do things by accident. He has loving intention. And then he says, you're the salt of the earth. We're here for a reason. All right, let's go on. Jesus then says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. Light also has function. Light has purpose. I hope you appreciate light. Okay, what does it do? It shines, right? It brightens. It illuminates. Jesus says, Jesus created light. I think he knows. He says, it gives light to all in the house. Okay? So it's especially important in the darkest darkness. You see what he's saying? He's creating an analogy. The world is full of darkness, the darkest darkness. And he's giving us a job. You're the light of the world. And Jesus goes on in verse 16 and says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Okay, this is really important. Okay, this is really important. Just in case you didn't know, like, you're not actually light. So he's using an analogy here, right? And if you can see, he's tying two things together. He says, let your light shine so that they may see your good works. So light and good works, he's making a connection between light and good works. And those together have a purpose to give glory to your Father in heaven. Okay? So there are two ways to generate light. There are two ways to generate light. One is to become the source of light, like the sun. The second is to become a reflector of the light, like the moon. Which do you think we are? Number two, the moon, okay? If you said number one, you're wrong, okay? you think you're too self-important, okay? Right, we're not the sun, we're the moon. And they do different things. The sun is the source of light. The scripture says Jesus is the light of the world, capital L, light, okay? And then Jesus says, you all in Christ are the lowercase light of the world. So he's the sun, he's the source, and we're the moon, we're the reflector, okay? That's very important. So I did some research on the moon, okay? Because it's very confusing to me. It's very confusing why the moon is so bright, right? It's so bright. I don't understand, right? And I'm not that smart. So I had to go do some research and figure out why it is that the moon is so bright in the night sky, okay? And here's what I found. First of all, the moon is a hunk of rock. That's it, okay? It's just a rock, all right? It's a rock. It's a pretty poor reflector, actually. It's pretty bad at reflecting light. All right, it has all these jagged edges, right? And it's uneven. And you know, like if you think about a mirror is flat and it does a really good job of reflecting. In science, okay, apparently, there's something called albedo. A-L-B-E-D-O, albedo. Okay, I don't know if you knew this. And it's the measurement of a surface's ability to reflect light. Okay, and it's a percentage, like between 1 and 100%, or 0 and 100%. So for instance, a mirror would have a very high albedo, 90 plus percent probably. A mirror does a great job at reflecting, okay? Aluminum is pretty high. Pretty high. It's about 80, 85% albedo, okay? Even snow, like when there's snow and ice on the ground, it's got about a 50 or 60% albedo, right? That means it, whatever the light is shining, it, about 50 to 60% of it reflects off, okay? The moon is about 10% or less, okay? It's really bad at reflecting light, basically. It's pretty poor, right? It's just a hunk of rock. It's about the same as that asphalt out there, like that concrete parking lot is about what the moon does, okay? But still, somehow, the moon reflects an incredible amount of light on the Earth, okay? Why is that? Why is it that the moon, although it is such a poor reflector, is so bright in the night sky? Do you know why? Because the sun is brilliant. The sun is overwhelmingly bright and powerful. The sun is so bright, it can take a poor reflector like the moon, or like you, or like me, and it can shine the power of the sun. Do you see that? You see how amazing that God is? So when he says, you're a light of the world, he's not asking you to be fabulous, all right? He's not asking you to be perfect. He's not asking you to be super spiritual. He's just asking you to reflect. Even if your albedo is less than 10%, all right? Even though you're a poor reflector, because we're sinful, we're broken. Stuff is all broken inside. But when you gaze upon the sun and you let the power of the sun reflect off of you, although you are a bad reflector, you are a light of the world because of how bright and brilliant the sun is. Let me read 2 Corinthians 4:7. Okay, I'm landing the plane here, all right? I know the kids are hungry, all right? I'm hungry. 2 Corinthians 4:7. This is from Apostle Paul. We have this treasure. Okay, we have this treasure, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, the brilliance of the sun. We have this treasure in jars of clay. In other words, jacked up, ugly jars. Okay, again, you're not that important, all right? But you're greatly loved. We have this treasure of Christ in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. If you want to be a light of the world, because that is what God, your creator, has called you to be, he has given you function and purpose and usefulness on this earth. Not capital L, but lowercase l, light of the world, okay? If you want to be a reflector, although you're all jacked up, although you're all jagged, you have all these jagged edges, although your albedo is less than 10%, okay? Again, God is not asking you to be brilliant. He's not asking you to be magnificent. He's not asking you to be super spiritual. He's not asking you to be a Christian YouTube, TikTok influencer, okay? If you want to, okay, whatever, but he's not asking for that, all right? He's not asking you to be dynamic and charismatic and glorious in the eyes of the world. You just got to be willing to shine in all your brokenness. You just got to shine the power and the brilliance of the Son, Jesus Christ, because he's enough. He has enough power. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. It's him. It's all him. Okay? When all of this humanity stuff, when all of this creation comes to a close, it is going to be him that we're worshiping. It's all him. It's not us. It's not going to be anything made with human hands. It's not going to be, hey, look at me. It's going to be, hey, look at him. He's amazing. He's amazing. Jesus Christ is amazing. He's full of love. He's full of mercy. He's full of kindness and goodness. He forgives sin against him. He's very forgiving. He throws it into the bottom of the sea and he remembers it no more. So when God calls us to be salt and God calls us to be light, we are here to shine for him. Okay? We are reflectors. We're the moon. We are reflectors of the brilliant sun. Let me close with this, okay? Remember at the beginning, I said that you're not very important in the grand scheme of things. I keep saying that. Sorry if I'm offending you. You're not that important in the grand scheme of eternity, in the grand scheme of history. I don't think anyone's name here is written in any books, all right? But even still, you are greatly loved by your Father in heaven, okay? This is amazing. This is amazing if you think about it. As insignificant as we are, God allows us to join him to impact eternity. Okay? As insignificant as we are, God loves us so much that he allows us to join him to have ripple effects into eternity. Isn't that crazy? That is crazy to me. God could do it himself. He doesn't need us. But in his divine creation, in his love for us, in his overwhelming love and compassion for humanity, although we are insignificant, we are greatly loved by God. And he allows us in our small ways, in our less than 10% albedo, to reflect the glory of the sun and to actually make an impact in eternity. So go to your workplaces. Go to your families. Go to your neighborhoods. Make some friends here. Make an impact on eternity. Not because you're important, right? But because he loves you. And he wants to give you a job and a purpose to impact eternity. That is amazing. God is an amazing God. All right? So let's not waste it. All right? This is kind of a morbid thought, but let me close with this. Every night before I go to bed, when I'm putting my kids down to bed, the thought that comes to my mind is, I'm never going to get today back. All right? Time is the one resource that I cannot get more of. So let's not waste it. Let's not waste the few hours that we have here. All right? Let's honor God. Let's love God. Let's love one another. Let's enjoy each other. Let's be a light of the world. Let's reflect the glory of the sun. All right? And then tomorrow, when you wake up and you have to get ready for Memorial Day, when you get out of bed late and then on Tuesday when you go back to work and, you know, have to face your coworkers and your neighbors and the long commute, let's pray. God, I don't want to waste it today. I got a few hours here today to be functional and useful for your kingdom, God, to be so insignificant, but to have an impact on eternity. That's only God can do that. Only God, your Father, can give you that job. All right? Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Let me pray for us, and let me invite Nate and James to come back up to close us in worship. And if we can take a few minutes just to pray and thank God. Although we are so insignificant, your Father in heaven loves you. And he wants to know you. He wants to renew you. He wants to give you purpose. He wants to give you joy. He's proud of you. He loves you. And as bad of reflectors as we are, we were made to shine his glory. So let's pray, and as we talk to God, let's pray through ways that God might be pressing on your heart and my heart to be a light, to be a good reflector for his glory. And I want to pray against the enemy in the way the enemy puts so much guilt and shame upon us, upon you, about how bad of a job you're doing and how bad of a witness you are. That's from the enemy, okay? So we pray in Jesus' name against the enemy, and we want God to give you grace, to empower you with his grace and his love, to get up and try again, because he loves you, all right? He loves us, and he has good plans and good purposes. So let's pray.